It's all new with Season 2, Motivational Monday, the show that guarantees you the motivation you need to thrive throughout the week.
Start noticing when you're having a fear about money, I'm not going to have enough, or I'm not going to earn enough, or I'm going, you know, when you're having any of those thoughts, identify what it is that triggers it.
Wake up! It's a beautiful morning and time to ignite the greatness within you. This is the Motivational Monday podcast, and here's your host, Abigail Autry.
Just even in the next 12 months, you can begin to see your finances reflecting in the way you desire.
Because I think a lot of people don't communicate and they end up buying presents, spending money that they don't need to spend, that people don't even expect them to spend.
Every Monday morning, my goal is to bring you an array of motivating and inspiring coaches, authors, keynote speakers, entrepreneurs, and fitness gurus to share their perspectives on motivation to awaken the sleepy giant within you. Plus, you get a taste of their secret sauce on success habits, ninja tips on staying healthy as well as happy, and personal insights as to how they transformed failures. Guess what? Into fortunes, equipping you with the power tools to make those powerful moves. Welcome to this week's Motivational Monday, the show that guarantees you the motivation you need to thrive throughout the week. Welcome to part one of our explosive masterclass series where we're taking the lids and the limits off of our mindset towards money by taking a deeper dive and looking at our habits, attitudes, and exploring investment opportunities too. Our guest who's on today's show is no other than Ruth Kudsey. Ruth is a business and mindset coach, author, and speaker. She works with professional women around business strategy, building confidence, and mindset. Now, an interesting fact about Ruth is she built her first six-figure business whilst on maternity leave. I think she deserves a high five right there. Ruth has made a number of guest appearances on ITV, Women in Home, the BBC. She's featured in The Guardian and The Huffington Post, to name a few. Time to hear from the lady herself. Hello, Ruth. It's great to have you on the show.
It's great to be here.
Right. So here's the first thing, Ruth, that I want to lay out there, because I know that for someone listening, they may have heard this floated around, the term money mindset. Would you do us the honor, my dear, by explaining what exactly is a money mindset and its relationship to work as well as business?
So a money mindset is really our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs around money. So it's what we think about money, what we believe about money, our fears about money, everything that goes on in our head to do with our relationship with money. So that would not only impact you in business, but it would always impact you at work. So if you're thinking about getting a pay rise, or you know, you might have beliefs around the type of people that ask for money, the type of people that ask for a pay rise, what people are going to think about you if you ask for a pay rise. So all of it is related to how we act in business, in life, and at work.
What's the one thing you wished everybody knew about money?
I think I wish that everybody knew that they could change their relationship with money. There's so much fear around money, and there's such a kind of scarcity mindset that a lot of people worry that they're not going to have enough money, and they stay in that worry rather than look at how they can change it.
Mm. So teach us, because you're the master in this class. How can a person begin to change their relationship and their approaches to money? What's maybe a couple of steps to walk us through?
Okay, so first step is to identify what's going on. What is their current relationship with money? So what do they feel about money? What are their fears? I always say that you can think of it as a relationship, as if you're in a partnership, as if it's a partner, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, a wife. And imagine what that's like. You know, are you scared of it? Do you ignore it? Are you passive aggressive towards it? So take some time to reflect and write in a journal. And I would do this probably over a course of a week or a couple of weeks. All of those things that you think about money on a daily basis, and what you believe to be true about money, your ability to earn money, your ability to save money, and then start identifying what your triggers are. So you start writing that story and then start identifying where your triggers are. So start noticing when you're having a fear about money, I'm not going to have enough, or I'm not going to earn enough, or I'm going, you know, when you're having any of those thoughts, identify what it is that triggers it. Because then when you know the trigger, you can do something about it.
And what's one thing, sorry, I cut in right there, but what's one thing that they can do to trigger it? For instance, when we, as we're recording, we're in November, we know that typically this is the time where people are preparing for Thanksgiving and going into the Christmas thing. Here comes a lot of scarcity around Christmas. Am I going to have enough? Am I going to be able to take care of my family around this time? And what, and so on, and so on, and so on. So what are some of the changes they can do to replace those fears, triggers?
Well, one of the things that they can do, so if they've got a fear around Christmas, they need to confront it. This is the thing, that we need to confront our fears. So if they're thinking, I'm not going to have enough, then they need to start communicating with people about the expectation about what Christmas is going to look like. Because I think a lot of people don't communicate and they end up buying presents, spending money that they don't need to spend, that people don't even expect them to spend. So having those open conversations and actually looking at the evidence, this is something that a lot of people struggle to do, but have a look, see how much money is in your account, do your budgets, project how much money you're going to need, and then work out where you're going to get it from. If you've got a shortfall and you identify that you've got a shortfall, either you need to change the way that you're behaving towards money, or you need to earn more money or get more money. So you need to think about knowing, assessing the situation and then taking the right ones. But communicating with money, I think it's one of the big issue is because people don't communicate, so they keep acting in a way that they believe other people want them to act. But actually, most people, most situations, if people say, we're not going to do Christmas presents this year, most people are breathing a massive sigh of relief.
Ruth, why is it so imperative, in your opinion, for women to have a financial voice more now than ever before?
Actually, one of my really good friends, her mum, is currently campaigning because they've raised in the UK, they keep increasing the pension age. So women that were told they could retire when they were younger are no longer able to do it. And because a lot of women at that time were more reliant on their husbands and more likely to work part-time, their pension pot is even smaller. And I think that more and more women are becoming independent. And I think women want to be independent. And part of that independence is financial independence. I think for people's well-being, for their happiness, they need to have a grasp on money. Because if they don't, then that's when they feel that they're in situations that they don't want to be in. So I think female empowerment means women actually having a say and understanding money savvy.
It's so true. And what a lot of people don't realize is 70% of household financial choices are actually directed by women. We decide on the clothes that are bought, the food that's bought, as well as other expenses. So we actually have a lot more influence on family budgets than we realize. If you're listening to this and you're not in the position you desire to be financially, this is about empowering you, that you can start to make those necessary shifts towards your mindset and how you have built your language around money. This is where you can begin to curb back off from emotional spending and working out some kind of plan. Can you imagine a year from now, when you've done the work and you've digged real deep, that just even in the next 12 months, you can begin to see your finances reflecting in the way you desire for them. But it does start and often stop with our mindset.
Definitely. I mean, I think one of the things is to look at what you're good at. So really do an audit of what you're good at. And when you're looking at that, think about what people come to you for. If you're starting a business, it's what people come to you for at work. What are you really good at? So I've been coaching for over, well, nearly 20 years when I started my business. I've been doing it voluntarily. I've been doing it in my job. I've been doing it as a leader. I've been coaching outside my job. So I think for me, one of the reasons I was able to do that is because I had a really solid base and I knew that I was good at it. So for me, I had the product, which was me, but it was more about marketing it. So I think it's about really identifying what you love doing and being prepared to take a risk. If you start a business, you're taking a risk. And we know that, I mean, entrepreneurship, when you learn about it at school, is the it is the reward. The money that you get, that profit that you get, is the reward for taking the risk. So if you're prepared to take a risk, then you're more likely to get a bigger reward. Obviously, a calculated.
Indeed. But I mean, life is short, even on your longest day. And so I think now is the time, and it could even be a side hustle, would you not say? A person could start off doing it as a side hustle before it becomes their main source of work and income.
Yes, 100%. And I was actually talking to somebody today about that and saying that, yeah, it's better to be, you know, to be in a position where you're not in fear about not having money. So maybe that would be working a part-time job, having a side hustle while you build in, and then failing because you don't have the infrastructure around you.
Yes. Saving money and having a money mindset to save. Is it redundant? Should we still be saving? How much should we be saving?
So I come from the money mindset that I didn't used to save. And now after doing a lot of work, I definitely think there's a place for saving. Uh-huh. I think you can look at why you're saving. And I think that the language around saving is really important, to see it as an investment, an investment in your future, rather than that kind of negative, I'm saving for a rainy day.
Oh, I love that.
Save for something positive.
Yes, I love that.
So how investing, and I was talking to a client yesterday as well, actually, that she was saying a big thing. They've just got now a family why and a family goal, and that goal is to move into a new house. Mm. And having that kind of thing that you're aiming for and you're saving for and investing for is really important. But I think that the way that people sometimes fall down is they're not saving for a purpose. And it's really difficult to keep motivating yourself to do that.
Absolutely.
And some people also use savings as a way of beating themselves, saying that they don't deserve. So it's also thinking about, okay, in the long term, what do we want in the long term? What do we want in the short term? What are we willing to sacrifice now to get that thing in the long term? And being really honest about it.
Indeed.
Again, it's communication, isn't it? It is communication.
Yes, and I think that's what's important. And the language, I love the emphasis you make on looking at our language and really just homing in on the limiting beliefs that we often don't realise are there. And we don't check in enough. So somebody listening, Ruth, will be saying, well, that's all well and good for you. You're super successful. You know, you've got a fantastic career. You're cited as an expert, you know, in your industry. But you don't know what I'm going through and you don't know what I deal with every day. I'd love you to share a page from your book, your journal. Take us back into a time in your life where you weren't winning, where you hit rock bottom and you weren't sure you would have the wings to fly high again.
So for me, when I was 18 years old, I had I was involved in a very serious car accident. I was driving and my very good friend at the time died. Ooh. So obviously, that was a very, very traumatic experience. I wasn't responsible, but you can be told that you're not responsible for something and you can feel responsible. Yeah. So I had post-traumatic stress disorder for, well, I say 10 years, but it was probably closer to 15 years, where I was dealing with that guilt. And a big part of it was guilt, sadness and anger. Mm. And that definitely impacted the way that I was around people. It impacted how I trusted people. It impacted how I showed up. It impacted my self-worth. So I think it hit hardest probably about a year afterwards, when I couldn't get out of bed, when I felt really that I wasn't good enough for anything, when I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I did have therapy. I did have counselling for that. But I still, despite all of that going on, I still actually got up and went to work. Mm. And I didn't ever disclose to people at work. And I'm not saying that you should keep these things to yourself. I don't think that's a good thing. But I still was like, okay, I still need to do something, even though at the moment I can't see the bigger picture. I know that I have to do something. So I think you're not going through something like that, but if you're, you know, if you're a single mom, if you've got no money, you can start small. You don't need to climb that mountain in one go. It's one step, one foot in front of the other.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. What one lesson took you the longest to learn?
So with money mindset, actually, this is quite interesting. I could always earn money. So I've worked since I was 13. I've always had jobs and businesses and I could always earn money. That wasn't a problem. But I could never keep, never realized why it was until I started probably about 6 years ago on this journey. And I had this belief that people who have money were not good people. So even when I was earning money and doing really well, I got rid of that money. Wow. And I had a lot of guilt and a lot of shame around that as well. So actually for me, examining those beliefs, it made me feel that I'd been blaming myself for so long for doing this. But actually it was a belief structure because I didn't want to be a person who wasn't a good person. And it sounds really simple and it sounds really easy, but actually exploring those beliefs transforms the way that you live your life.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm just blown away because that's such a powerful epiphany that you got there.
Yeah. Oof. It was, but it took quite a long time to get there.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Before we take our break, what are you excited about at the moment?
So I'm actually really excited about, I'm going to be doing a podcast next year. So I'm going to be interviewing people. So I'm really, really excited about that because it's something I've wanted to do for so long. So welcome. Super excited.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's a great place, podcasting land. It's a lovely place. So more of Motivational Monday after this. Right. So we're on the second half of the show. And in the words of Jim Rohn, success leaves clues. Ruth, let's explore your mindset mastery. What words or mantras are you specifically telling yourself to keep going during tough times?
I think one of my big ones is, I say very simply, you can do this. You've got this.
Oh, I love that.
And so I'll repeat that. I think as well, when I've got a tough time, I always take a step back and I think, okay, what's the bigger picture? How important is this? So it's not like I always tell myself things, but I do have that kind of, you've got this, you can do this, and already done. And I have in my head. Sometimes I need to remind myself, but I do have that as reprogrammed dialogue.
During the winter, especially in the cold, good old UK temperatures, how do you motivate yourself in the morning to keep going?
Abigail, I've got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Oh, right. So, says it all.
So, normally they're awake before me. But actually, joking aside, I mean, this morning it was a typical November morning in London, and I had an appointment with the personal trainer. So I make my exercise appointments early in the morning. So I'd either go to yoga or go to the personal trainer, and that makes me motivated for the rest of the day. So I know, and the thing is, I know, especially with the trainer, like he will have got up and driven to the gym. So I have to go. I can't let him down. So that's really important for me.
Yes. And when you win the morning, you win the day. That's the beauty of morning mastery. That's the really good thing about it. Now, what one book, and it might be difficult for you to choose just one, but in terms of keeping your tank full, what one book, be it personal or business, has been most meaningful to you?
So this is actually easy. So it's called The K. Henry. And that book, I know now what I've been doing my whole life, because he talks about those self-sabotaging behaviors that we have when we're kind of doing what we really want to be doing because we're scared and we're fearful. And that book was me. Wow. So it was such an interesting book. And I think probably the second book, Elizabeth Gilbert. It's called Big Love, isn't it? I just forgot the name of it.
That's all.
Yeah, it is. that idea that you can be creative, and just the way that she writes as well. I love that.
Beautiful.
Too.
And the first book, because the audio cut out on us a little bit, what was the title of the first book you mentioned?
The first book is A Big Leap by Gay Henry.
Brilliant. Yeah, I know the one. And lastly, maintaining health and wellness. So you spoke about your morning routine in the gym, working out, which is fantastic. In terms of nutrition, as a busy entrepreneur, coach, wife and mother, how do you keep yourself holistically well so you can be, you know, at your best at all times?
So interesting, because I've gone on a massive journey with this year. Before I had my business, before I had my kids, I was very, very health conscious. And then I think when I had my business and it was taking over, I wasn't paying as much attention to my diet. So I've worked with a health coach and nutritionist, and I actually do intermittent fasting quite a lot now.
Yes.
Which gives me a lot of clarity. It makes such a difference to the way that I feel.
Yeah.
I've been using that and I've got a lot more energy. But interestingly, I think this is the beginning of my journey, because I'm having an internal dialogue with myself at the moment about whether I'm going to become vegetarian or even vegan. And that was something I did for 10 years.
Oh.
And today, really thinking about it, actually before I came on here,
yeah,
I was like, I think I'm going to do a month and see how I get on.
I love that. I'm smiling ear to ear because you won't see this, but I've got a post-it note right in front of me. So I'm currently on a 30-day detox. Where I'm just, where I've cut out all the meat for this 30-day period, which I started at the end of October. And I'm on that similar path. I haven't decided, committed as to long-term if I'm going to go the vegetarian route, but it certainly is appealing to me. It really is.
Yeah, me too. And I think, actually, I'm doing intermittent fasting. I haven't eaten anything today. So this is day one.
Wow.
This is day one.
Super. Can you believe the time has just flown away and we're almost at the close. It's been brilliant having you on the show. Ruth, as a final call of action or words of encouragement, what would you like to leave our listeners with, and how can they connect with you online and wherever you are?
So I want you to really think that you can change your story. You can change your money story, and you can start doing that today. So it's not about taking massive action. It's about small actions every single day, whether that be checking your bank account, looking at ways that you can get the money to invest in something that you want to do, or having those open conversations with people. So you can connect with me. I am the only Ruth Kudzi, I think, in the world. So my surname is KUDZI, and my website is ruthkudzi.com. I'm on Instagram as Ruth Kudzi, Twitter as Ruth Kudzi, LinkedIn as Ruth Kudzi, and on Facebook I have a big group called The Rebel Collective. So I'd love to see you in any show.
Love that, The Rebel Collective. I'm afraid that's all we have time for today, but if you'd like to go over to abigailarchie.com/podcast, you'll be able to check out today's show notes and links so you can connect with Ruth Kudzi as she's given you all her details. Make sure you do hook her up. Ruth, thank you. Thank you for dropping it, giving it to us nice and simple, giving us easy bite-sized steps so we can start winning financially.
Thank you.
And just to re-echo Ruth's words, you can change your money story by starting today. And then continuing to take tiny weeny steps along the way. I'll catch you same time, same place next week for a fresh dose of motivation. God bless. It's all new with season 2, Motivational Monday, the show that guarantees you the motivation you need to thrive throughout the week.
Thanks for listening to the Motivational Monday podcast with career and confidence coach Abigail Autry. If you need a motivational boost in your life, visit abigailautry.com.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Motivational Monday. If this content is adding value to your life, our one big ask is that you go to iTunes, Stitcher to rate and review. Not only does it help us build our global community, in which we are committed in doing, but it also helps us get on even more amazing guests to share their knowledge with us all. Thank you guys for being a part of this uplifting community. And until next week, remember, You have greatness within you.